for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 601 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, creator Tracy Butler is here, and she's talking about her book and animated series called Lackadaisy, now being supported on BackerKit. Lackadaisy is described this way. Once the pride of St. Louis's swinging Prohibition era, shabby little speakeasy Lackadaisy is barely hanging on in 1927. It focuses on the unassuming Little Daisy Cafe run by the widowed and strong-willed Missy May. Lackadaisy still holds its own in the rough-and-ready world of bootleg and bandits, though. We talk about how successful this book and franchise has come to be, delve into the characters, and talk about how Lackadaisy is keeping Tracy happily busy these days. This crowdfunding campaign will conclude around Thursday, August 24, so be sure to support it now. I'm sure you're going to enjoy what she has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome to the podcast Tracy Butler, the creator behind Lackadaisy, which is an amazing book and video. I think it's going on. It's on BackerKit right now. So how's it going, Tracy?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We're doing a crowdfund and it's been going good. So
yeah, as we're talking, and we're probably doing this a little ahead of time, is that, wow, you are really, let's just say that you're doing excellent as far as things go. You're already over the $1 million mark?
Yeah. Wow. We set our initial goal at 125K, and that would have done one 10-minute episode more of animation. But we kind of set our pie-in-the-sky goal way out at $1 million, thinking we would never reach that point. But in an ideal world, we'd be able to do the entire season one of Lackadaisy on that budget. And people really responded to that. So they decided to pledge for it. And so we're up over $1 million now, and we will be making a season one, full season one of Lackadaisy. So.
I'll say, wow, that is amazing. Do you remember when you met your goal? How long was it up before you met your goal?
We met our goal, I think, within the first 20 minutes or so of the launch. We had the first day was pretty crazy. And we had done a Kickstarter in the past to raise funds to make the pilot animation, which was a 27-minute long introduction to Lackadaisy as an animated story. And that was done in 2020. And when we did that, we raised $330,000. And that took us the full month to do. And we did that in the first day on this crowdfund. So that was really, really great feeling that, you know, we had come out with that pilot and people liked it enough that they really wanted more. So so we will be very happy to be working on that and delivering that over the coming.
As we're talking, you're almost at 10,000 backers.
Yeah.
That is just amazingly wonderful. That is, congratulations. Wow.
Thank you.
That is, you don't know how many people would love to be in your position with this. This is just tremendous.
Thanks. That's
wonderful stuff. I had the chance to look at the animation, and mm-hmm. I also had the chance to read the books, which are really, really, really good. I really liked it.
Thanks.
It's funny. I just wrote a column on majorspoilers.com about comics that are featuring animals as lead characters. Usually anthropomorphic ones. And I didn't want to talk about this one yet until I got a chance to talk with you. But next time I talk about that subject, I'm going to remember this because this is really something.
Oh, yeah. Be happy to discuss that. Sure.
Now, this is – you wrote the story and did the art, right, for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I did the comic as a solo artist, creator, writer for years, starting in 2006. And so, yeah, all by myself for a long time, just kind of working in isolation on the comic and then transitioned over to doing the animated thing. I'm still going back to the comic, but I had to put it on hiatus while doing a lot of this animation work because it's so consuming. But it's been quite a transition going from being just me on the project to having like 150 other people working together on it. So, yeah.
Wow. So how did you decide to make the jump from, well, let's start at the beginning. Why did you decide to do a comic?
I was working in the game industry at the time, and I'd kind of moved into a, from being an artist to more of a lead role. And that meant a lot of management work. So I was doing a lot of task delegating and making schedules and interviewing hirees and training people and making, you know, art Bibles and things. And so I wasn't doing so much of the hands-on art that I really wanted to do. So I decided in my free time, I really needed some kind of, you know, creative outlet, something fulfilling to do. And I had just moved into an old house in St. Louis and got kind of interested in the history here. And I was listening to a lot of jazz music at the time and things like that. So I think that all kind of like culminated in this idea to do a 1920s comic set in St. Louis. So I just took that idea and ran with it. And I started out just doing it kind of casually thinking, well, this will just be my nighttime project, but it kind of took over my entire existence. I ended up leaving my job in the game industry to focus on the comic full time. Patreon allowed me to do that. And so I did that. And then, got to a point where doing it as animation, which kind of was my dream to begin with, became a possibility. So I pursued that. I reached out to Fable Siegel about pitching it, and a series of unusual events led us to actually making the animation ourselves instead. No regrets so far. So
wow.
Yeah.
Well, if I remember correctly, you had cats that wanted your attention all the time, and they ended up putting themselves in the story, apparently.
More or less, yeah. I mean, cats are like that. They demand attention when they desire to, and they have a lot of personality. I grew up around cats, and I was living with, you know, in my house, and I had pet cats at the time. I still do. But they sort of formed the basis for the personalities of several of the main characters. They're kind of named after these cats, too. And so, yeah, kind of an homage to the feline friends I've had as well. I figured they, in terms of storytelning, they make good morally gray characters, which really is what this story focuses on. They're all, you know, bootleggers and rum runners and alley cats and jazz cats and things. So, it seemed like cats were a good fit for this world.
There's on the BackerKit page, and by the way, it's BackerKit.com/C, like in cat, follow things, / iron-circus-comics, /lackadaisy-bookset-and-plushes.
Yeah.
That's what we'll get to before too long. There's all kinds of amazing stuff going on.
Yeah, they didn't give us a short URL, sadly, but
no.
But if you just search, you know, if you Google search BackerKit and Lackadaisy, you'll probably find it.
Because you'd think they just Lackadaisy would be enough, I think, to make it stand out.
Yeah, you would think, but oh well.
Nope. Oh well, you know, it's the people who do these things have other goals than our happiness with it. So
yeah.
Well, let me read a little bit so people understand a little bit more about what the story about it. Under the About section on the BackerKit page, it says, once the pride of St. Louis's swinging Prohibition era, shabby little speakeasy Lackadaisy is barely hanging on in 1927. Hidden under the unassuming Little Daisy Cafe and run by the widowed and strong-willed Mitzi May, Lackadaisy still holds its own in the rough-and-ready world of bootlegging bandits. But for how much longer? Will tenacity, class, and a little bit of crazy be enough to ensure the survival of Mitzi and her gang? One more paragraph. It says, calamity after calamity has worn down the once popular establishment. Now jazz band riffraff, a sassy flapper, a Tommy gun savant, and a beleaguered veteran of the Great War are all that remain to keep Lackadaisy from shuddering, paired, of course, with some halfway decent booze. So it's really kind of cool. So I'm so interested because I did you write the story first, or did you do both at the same time? How did this all come together?
Yeah, while I was doing visual development, I was also writing it. Those things kind of were intertwined together. So I didn't like write out a script and then decide to go and design everything. I kind of like did it all. Like the character designs came out of drawings and sketches I was doing and things I was thinking about, you know, at that time. And so as the character started to manifest on paper and take shape, you know, I was sorting out like, what's their part in this story? How do they fit into this? And I ended up with basically just a big pile of disconnected notes and lots of character drawings and the sketches and things. And just kind of had to sort that out into like, okay, how does this actually work? and what's the plot line here? So it kind of came together that way. I also spent some time drawing some experimental comics to try to feel out, you know, who the characters were, how they would interact with each other, how they would speak, how I was going to approach doing page layouts and things like that. So it was all just like a lot of experimenting up front. And I did a lot of that kind of out in public. I was posting a lot of that stuff on DeviantArt way back when. Mm. And people seemed pretty excited about it and seemed to be enjoying like the concept drawings and things I was putting out there. So I think that really encouraged me to keep going with it, because it was kind of like a, you know, I understood that it was kind of an unusual, weird idea at the start, but it seemed to have something going for it. So, I was really in love with the whole thing and kind of fell in love with the characters. So, I took it and ran with it, and then it became the thing around which my life revolves. So,
now, wow, it's, you know, when you start a project like this, you never know how far it's going to go.
Yeah, you don't really have that perspective that it's going to be that meaningful in your life at that moment in time. You kind of think, well, this is an interesting diversion, you know, it's just something I can do as a hobby at night, and I'll, you know, learn some new things about, like, I had come from a background of illustration and 3D modeling and character rigging in 3D and animation in 3D, and so this was a new thing, for a foray into comics for me. I'd grown up reading things like Calvin and Hobbes and was quite obsessed with that as a child and things, but I just didn't have that much of a comics background prior to that. But diving into it the way I did was just an immense learning experience. And I really did fall in love with the art form of comic making. Like I said, I had kind of always like, I envisioned it when I close my eyes and think about it, what I see is animation, because I was an animation fiend. I was very much an animation nerd as a kid. Mm-hmm. Don Bluth and Disney and things like that. So I think that just kind of became my mental image of the way storytelling looks and works in my head. So I would close my eyes and see an animated thing happening, and I'd be like, well, I have to translate that now somehow into a tangible story. But I can't animate a long form story all by myself. So I decided comics is the thing I could do solo. It would still be very visual, and I could give the characters room to act and things like that the way I see them in my head, but without having the software available at the time, or the funding options available at the time, or the crew of artists or anything. Like I couldn't do all the animation I would have needed to do. So comics it was. And then of course years later, when I did approach it as animation, it was because those pieces fell into place. Like Kickstarter did not exist when I first started on Lackadaisy. Toon Boom wasn't widely available. Most animation software was only really proprietary to studios that were doing, you know, Hollywood productions. I'm sorry. My cats are...
You say, hey.
Cat drama. How fitting. Yes. apologies. They're fighting. There's a prime real estate in the window over here, and they decided to have an argument over it. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Anyway, that's my life. It's I guess I'm just half the time telling stories that take place in my own home amongst the cats, and reimagining it as gang warfare. but yeah, the tools became available. Toon Boom, Harmony being one of the primary ones that we needed to make animation, and the crowdfunding platforms as well, because animation, as you probably are aware, is very expensive to produce. So mm-hmm. Just coming out of my personal bank account alone, that wasn't going to cut it. So that's how it ended up also becoming animation. You know, it was really just when the time was right and those pieces became, you know, accessible.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's the thing. That's how I got into podcasting, was all of a sudden this The software became available that you could actually make a little radio show in your own living room and stuff. And so I started to do that. I said, I'm going to learn how to do that. And I've been doing it now for like 12 years. And so it's just fascinating.
Yeah. It's really, so much of it has to do with just access to the tools needed. And some of that has often been inaccessible unless you were basically going to a university that would allow you access to stuff that you couldn't afford yourself, or if you got hired somewhere that had, you know, like I said, proprietary tools that you otherwise can't find outside of whatever corporate space you're working in where they've developed their own software and things. But times have changed, and everybody has the ability to get their hands on these things now. So there's really nothing stopping you except, you know, the time and money part of it. But
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, you've got actually three books. Mm-hmm. You've got the volume one and then the volume two, and then you have the essentials. Mm-hmm. And you can get all three of those for a PDF ebook bundle.
Yep.
As well as volumes one and two. Is the third volume available in print, or is that just PDF?
The Lackadaisy Essentials is also available as a book set. Among the pledge tiers, if you scroll down a little bit further on the backer kit page, you can see it's $100 for all three hardcover books.
Hardcover book bundle. I got you. Mm-hmm. Wow, very nice. Very nice. I mean, what's it like to have your characters turn into plush dolls and?
A bit odd. I think personality-wise, some of them would object to that idea. They would not be thrilled to be a marketable plush, but some of them, I think, would enjoy the attention. So it was a bit of a challenge designing plushes that make them actually, you know, that convey the same facial expression and personality that the character does in comic panels or in animation. Obviously sewing is a whole other art form of its own, and it turned out to be a bit of a tricky thing to get them to look right, but we finally managed, and we're pretty happy with the results, so hopefully other people like them too.
It's so cool. Did you have to find somebody that could make the plushes? Is that what you had to do?
Yeah. We actually went through a few different prototyping phases with different manufacturers. A few of them came out not great. We weren't too pleased with them. They just didn't really capture the character. Or didn't have the quality level we really wanted. We wanted these to be not just your average, you know, $20 plush that you can find at Walmart. We wanted them to be a little bit more detailed and special than that, and specific than that. So it did take us a little while, but we ended up going with Juniper Creations, and they just knocked it out of the park in terms of the plush designs. So we're quite pleased with that. And then we hit a stretch goal for adding more plushes to the mix. So they're currently actually already working on the designs for those. Wow.
The reason why I asked that is because I helped out with an indie comic that was about a plush rabbit. And my roommate, who was the creator of the book, he spent hundreds of dollars with people in the area trying to find somebody who could create the plush that he wanted, and he literally spent about $400 trying to find somebody who could do that.
Not surprised.
Turned out was that there was a lady who, I think she made hats, is what it was. And one day she came across software that allowed her to make a plush of the whole figure. And I was out eating lunch with my roommate, and he all of a sudden comes running in the door with a big bag. And what's he got? But she had made a whole bunch of plushes, and he was just so excited. They looked exactly the way he wanted them. And, oh, my gosh, he did like several different versions of them since then. But you should have seen the expression on his face when he ran in the door with the plushes.
It is very satisfying when you finally land on the thing that looks right and actually does capture the character in this different form, in this tangible form. It's pretty neat. So, yeah.
Now, there's one level I just curious to know, because I don't think I can tell. I'm not as familiar with Backer Kid as I am with the Kickstarter and stuff like that. There's one level that gets me, the animated cameo cat, the ultimate pledge level for $20,000. In addition to every reward offered at the $5,000 tier, you receive what is called a Azona, designed in cooperation with you and Fable Siegel, that will be featured as a background character in the animated series. How many people have taken you up on that?
None so far. We had three of those in the prior Kickstarter campaign, but we kind of set it at a tier where we didn't think anyone would take it anyway. It's kind of like, if you really, really want to support the project at that level, then we'll do something extra nice for you. But we don't really, you know, we know that most people are here for the books and pins and plushes and things like that. And we really are more focused on getting, I mean, more numerous smaller pledges means more to us than lots of large or small number of large pledges, basically. Mm-hmm. But because that tier involves doing an entire character design, working with somebody to come up with a character design, doing an entire character sheet and turnaround, color treatment and costume design for the character, and then also animating it, we did have to price it that high. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of just like, you know, it's just a out there sort of pledge tier that, you know, it was like, why not? In limited supply, if people really want that, we'll do it. But
cool.
But yeah, we're very happy with the lots of, you know, smaller pledges that we get. So
well, that's cool, because I always wanted to be drawn into a comic book. Mm-hmm. And I finally came across somebody that had a crowdfunding thing that I could afford to have that done. And I was actually a pirate on a zombie ship chasing a zombie Moby Dick.
Nice.
And I didn't recognize me because I didn't have my glasses on, because I was a pirate. And of course, I didn't have glasses. And I said, where am I? I asked the guy, where am I? And he pointed me out. I said, oh, there I am. Okay, great. Because you know, how long I wanted that. And I had that saved someplace just in case anybody ever asked, you ever been in a comic? I said, yes. Here
there
it is,
go.
Right here.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. Like, if it's on somebody's bucket list, you know, we'll work with you to get you in there. But we're okay with it not being something people are, you know, super eager to pledge for, because it is a lot of work for us and our team to add those in. So
it's still be cool. I'd have to say, if I had 20,000, I'd probably put it down on that just for the see what it would turn out and look
appreciate
like.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
That'd be great. Well, what about the $5,000 level, the associate producer? Mm-hmm. The reason I'm thinking is you're over $1 million. I mean, you must, well, and of course, as we said, you've got a lot of good support going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see, you're heading towards 10,000 backers. So what's the most popular level?
At this point, let's see. I can look at the back end here.
Because that's significant stuff.
Yeah, let's see, pledge levels. We have, I think probably the most popular one has been the books and plushes combination.
Ah, okay.
It seemed to be, people are really here for the books, really here for the plushes. So those in combination, or just the plushes together and just the books as a bundle, look like they're probably the things that have been most pledged for. The card game has actually been the biggest of the add-ons. So nearly 1,645 people have pledged for the card game.
Wow.
So
that is terrific. Man, that is so great. Well,
yeah.
I've got to ask, though, and I don't want to give away any secrets or anything, but why is this one so – why are you getting so much – and such an increase in support for this, as opposed – is it the animation, you figure? What's making it happen?
Yeah, it definitely reached a bigger audience. Like, I'd been doing the comic for more than 10 years when we launched the first Kickstarter. And we got quite a bit more support than we even asked for on that as well. And we were very happy and surprised by the outpouring of support. And that expanded our ambition from doing something more like a 12-minute pilot to doing one that came out to 27 minutes. You know, in response to the enthusiasm people showed for pledging for that. And then when we released the pilot, it really took off on YouTube, and we ended up with a much, much bigger audience. And I think that the pilot probably reached more people than I, in probably the course of a month, than I had ever reached in the entire existence of the comic. It's just more accessible. YouTube has a massive built-in audience already, and so you get it in front of a lot of people's eyes. And that audience, it was basically introducing Lackadaisy anew to these people who hadn't been reading the comic. And you know, when we look at our analytics on the BackerKit page, we can see that quite a lot of the traffic is coming in from YouTube, to support this because they want more episodes. So, yeah.
Boy, that's great. Wow. That is something. It's really amazing to see. And, now what was your involvement in the animation exactly?
Multiple things. I wrote the script, co-wrote the script with Fable Siegel, the director. I was involved with a lot of the character designs. We had to basically reinvent the characters for animation. They are fairly detailed and rendered in the comic, and textured and things like that. So we had to kind of take those and then translate it to something like that could be animated, but still carry the same, you know, sense of character, so they'd be recognizable. But I did background art. I was the consultant for all things 1920s. Anytime anybody needed references for historical stuff or St. Louis-based stuff, that was on me to go dig up for them. I was in on every meeting, occasionally providing animation notes and acting notes for the characters. I was in on the voice recording sessions, doing voice recording directing, or voice direction. Pretty much every angle of it, except actually doing the hand-drawn animation, I had some involvement in. But that was not uncommon for those of us working on the project. A lot of us wore multiple hats, just because it was a small production. We had a limited budget, and we were working in a virtual studio. It was kind of a, you know, all hands on deck for anything needed sort of situation. Moving ahead, we're really planning to not do that. So people have, you know, a normal work schedule. They're just doing, like, you know, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, and nothing more than that. But yeah, we kind of treated it like a passion project for the sake of the pilot. And, several of us did. So yeah, it was labor intensive, but, and meanwhile, I was editing together the new books, fulfilling, you know, Kickstarter backer rewards. There was a lot of custom art that we promised, you know, for backers and things like that, to get ourselves funded. And so I had to do a lot of, custom drawings for backers. I did mention that we had the cameo cats in that Kickstarter as well. And we had three of those. So I had to work with some people to design their characters and, yeah, so lots and lots of different things to do.
Wow. That's so interesting though. It must have been so, you know, terrific for you to see your passion project just explode like this. I mean, man, that has to be.
Yeah, it's pretty surreal. I feel like the luckiest person in the world a lot of the time. It's labor intensive. It's very it's a lot and it's stressful, but it's also just amazing to be able to do it at all, and a huge privilege to work with all of the artists I've been able to work with on this. So I'm eternally grateful for the support that has allowed it to happen.
So I got to ask though, as far as like, so as I mentioned before, I had a friend, my roommate did a book about a plush rabbit, and we found out that rabbit fans were big supporters. Mm-hmm. We'd be at a convention and we'd have a banner up there with the picture of the plush rabbit on it. And these rabbit fans and clubs would come over and they'd want to buy all the copies of the book they can get their hands on because they were big fans of the rabbit. Did you find that true also when it comes to cats?
Yeah, there's the there's people who just like cats and like all things cats. You know, I'm definitely empathetic with the crazy cat lady crowd. I mean, I'm sure I qualify on some level as that. And people who are just cat enthusiasts and things like that definitely show up for Lackadaisy. There's a whole fandom out there for, I don't know if you've heard of a book series called Warrior Cats, but there's a lot of people who are really into that series, and they do lots of multi-animator projects, which are just basically volunteer projects where people get together and make animated episodes based on the books. And they showed up. A lot of the animators we have on Lackadaisy came from that place, basically, that background. And then there's like the furry community as well, which are into the anthropomorphic animals and things like mm-hmm. that. And so they mm-hmm. they responded as well with support. So we're grateful for like people coming in from all of those avenues to you know, to try to make this thing happen. So
you didn't do that to appeal to those groups, but once you did your thing, all of a sudden you see all these people are saying, "Oh, I'm a big cat fan. I love that." Because that's what we did with the bunnies. I mean, we had you'd be surprised how many bunny clubs are out there, and they
I'm not surprised. Yeah, rabbits are popular critters, and there's no question. I used to have pet rabbits when I was a kid, and there were a lot of people out there who did rabbit breeding and rabbit shows and things like that, or just adored their pet rabbits. And then there's also, of course, like the anthro community. Also, a lot of people enjoy rabbits. I mean, there's so many iconic characters out there, like Bugs Bunny and things, and Thumper. Mm-hmm. They're popular on the animal spectrum. So
how did you get your cats that led to this story? Were you given them?
They are all strays and wastrels and street urchins and things that I have rescued along the way. Some of them have been born in my neighborhood, and they were kittens that I rescued from under somebody's porch and socialized. I adopted some of them out to friends and family, and then, you know, spent some time socializing them because they were feral and very afraid of people. So they ended up, a couple of them ended up becoming my pets. At one point, my neighbor found a 2-day-old kitten and didn't know what to do with her. And brought her to me, and I ended up bottle feeding her and raising her. So she was the one who was hissing a moment ago about the window. every single one of them was a stray kitten I found in the parking lot at my old job in the game industry. I was working late night hours, and I went out to my car around midnight to leave finally, go home from the office. And there was this tiny kitten out there just crying under the lamplight. And it just broke my heart. So I was like, oh, I better get her. She looks like she doesn't belong out here. So she ended up coming home with me too. So yeah, it's all just a collection of strays.
I end up watching so many dog rescue videos on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm constantly looking at them because we have two rescue dogs. Mm-hmm. With us, and it's just there's something about when you rescue them.
It's special, yeah.
Yeah,
something different about that. Yeah, I mean, no offense to people who go out and you know look for responsibly bred, you know, purebred animals and things like that. As long as they're doing that in a responsible way and not buying from backyard breeders or anything like that, that's great. But my heart always goes out to the animals who are in shelters or who are otherwise unwanted or abandoned. And it's extra meaningful to me when I can give them a home and you know, they turn into a wonderful companion, and I get to share my existence with them for a time. And then they also become, inspiration for storytelling. So, yeah.
Now I got to ask you too about the name Lackadaisy, because I'm familiar with the word lackadaisical.
Right.
But how did you come to name it Lackadaisy?
So Lackadaisy is basically an obsolete version of lackadaisical. The etymology of the word goes back to kind of an expression of woe or like a feeling of woe, being woe begone, basically. Like the expression was alack the day. So basically like a pox on the day that this thing happened, this cursed thing happened. So you would, issue a curse to this past event, but in a sort of forlorn way. If somebody died, or just you crossed paths with somebody who ended up being your nemesis or something like that. And then it kind of turned into the term kind of drifted into being lackaday, and then lackadaisy, and then lackadaisical, which means kind of like lazy or listless, or just kind of half-hearted. But the meaning to me just has this kind of sense of like the original meaning of it just kind of has this inherent sense of nostalgia to it and longing for the past or regrets about the past. And the story is very much about that sort of thing. So it just seemed to fit. And it has kind of a sing-songy sound to it as well, which, you know, the comic has a lot of how should I say, verbose characters. One of them in particular is a wannabe poet. And so I just kind of felt like this sort of whimsical sounding word just seems to fit here somehow. So I just went with it. Yeah.
Cause the name is, and I can relate because of my past experience. Mm-hmm. The guy, the plush rabbit one, the name that he came up with for that is Stabbity Bunny.
Stabbity, wow.
Stabbity Bunny. And we were at New York Comic Con one time, and we could see people aisles away. They'd see our banner up with the name on it on the top, and we could see them mouthing the words, Stabbity Bunny, Stabbity Bunny. I was wondering, because Lackadaisy is probably the same kind of a thing. There's something about that word. It's kind of musical.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
It's fun to say. It has a rhythm to it. And yeah, it's Stabbity. I can see how that's fun to say, too. And it's memorable. It's not the same. It's not, something very generic, like you get a lot of horror films and things like that, or that are like, you know, the darkness or something like that. It's like, what is that even? Like, what does that mean? But something that stands out a little bit is you know, a bit off the beaten path, I think. Maybe is a bit more memorable, even if it's a little trickier to spell.
See, the thing though is that on so many levels, I think that you have done all the right things as far as this stuff. And I'm not, now that I've talked to you a little bit, I'm not terribly surprised at all the success, because, you know, you've done the name is great. The characters are fun. You know, the cat people probably love it, and all the things that you've done. I think your designs are really spectacular as far as with the characters and things.
Thank you.
The whole thing just, it just works, you know? So
thanks.
I'm not terribly surprised by the success, and which leads me to ask, though. I mean, you know, the first season is that eventually going to end up being like? Are you going to turn those into books, or is it pretty much going to be only the animation?
Well, I actually have volume 3 of the comic to finish. So there's volume 1 and volume 2 are out. And the art book is out. That's Lackadaisy Essentials. But volume 3 is about halfway done right now. You can find it on my website, in webcomic form. But I do need to finish that. So, but the animated, series that we're planning is actually going to pick up where volume 1 basically picks up. So it'll more or less follow the course of volume 1. So the animated stuff will follow behind the comic. We'll be treating it a bit differently. Like, it's going to expand upon some things that volume 1 in comic form doesn't cover. We're going to rearrange some things and probably move some scenes around and add some additional stuff, because we can, with the animated format, we can do things like add songs and music and things like that, which is pretty integral to the speakeasy scene of the 1920s. So looking forward to doing that and just kind of treating it like an animated show instead of like a comic. And in some cases it'll be very familiar feeling, but in some cases I think we can do things a bit differently or a bit better than I did before. Like, you get this chance to revise some of your writing decisions and stuff that you made early on, and you know, by retelling it in a different media. So yeah, it'll be the same but different, I guess, the short version of what I'm trying to say.
I've got a question. I keep looking at the artwork. I noticed something about the faces in particular. Sometimes the cats look very cat-like, but there's other times where the cats have a much more human appearance to them. Was there any kind of rhyme or reason to that, or did it depend on who the character was, how you drew the faces and stuff like that?
It depends a bit on the character and what kind of emotion or scenario they're in. In particular, characters like Victor, I really like to, like, he's got kind of a similar, you know, face to the other characters, but when he's angry, he has a very big cat sort of, you know, tigerish like expression. And so I like to play up the animal aspect of him in those cases, because he looks more bestial and scary. So yeah, sometimes I do play up the more feline aspects of them just depending on scenario and in cases where like Rocky's reciting his poetry, he can look more human. But if he's laughing uproariously because he's doing something destructive, his fangs become more prominently visible and his ears pin back and his pupils become slits like cat's pupils do. And so, I leaned into that for the comic, and we definitely did that in the animation as well. Sometimes their tails puff up when they get frightened and stuff, but we try not to go too heavy on the, it's not super literal that they're cats. It's not a bio fantasy where like the plot is dependent upon them being cats. It's really fundamentally a story about people, but the feline angle is there for the visual metaphor and the visual playfulness. More than anything, but I feel like I have more room for them to act and to be different things and to come across in different ways with the ability for them to be animal and human at the same time. So,
well, now in case you think that maybe Tracy's already reached her goal and doesn't need your support, that's not the case, because if you go to the bottom of the backer kit page, you've got a little more ambition involved towards the bottom there. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So we did hit our furthest stretch goal, which we had set at the beginning, was the $1 million get the full season of Lackadaisy made stretch goal. And since we hit that, we decided, well, I guess what do we do now? We add more stretch goals because apparently people really want animation. And so we've added stretch goals that expand upon the animation. So we have set at the 1.5 million mark, three mini episodes that we will do in addition to the season of episodes that we have planned already. We'll do some in-between material to explore some of the character backstories and some humor too. And to basically flash back into some of the lives of the characters prior to, the present day at Lackadaisy that's presented in the series. And in addition to that, we're offering more plushes because people seem to really want more of those. So we figured, well, we're doing four of the characters right now. But there's a bunch of other primary cast members and people are asking for plushes for those. So if we hit our ultimate goal of 2 million, that's way, way out there. I don't know that we'll get there, but hey, might as well make it a goal at least and see how far we can get. Then we'll make some of the other characters as well into plushes, and we'll let the fans vote on who we make first. So
if you got to tell the whole story the way you wanted to tell it, do you know like how many seasons of the animated show or how many volumes of the comic you'd want to make? How far do you want to go with this good story?
It does have an ending that it's not just a story that just goes on and on and on like a sitcom. And so in the comic, I have planned for 5 volumes. At this point, I had initially planned for 4, but as I learned doing volume 2 of the comic, there's only so long you can make a book before it becomes so expensive to print and to ship because it's so big that you might as well break it into multiple books just for practicality purposes. Mm-hmm. So I'm now thinking it's probably more like 5 volumes because I'll probably break volume 3 in half from what I had initially planned it to be. Season-wise, yeah, we're thinking we can probably tell the story in 3 seasons. So that's our goal right now.
Boy, that's great. And it's so well put together. I do have to say that I hope more people back it. I hope you get that $2 million mark. I'd love to see lot more because the animation is great. The voices are really well done. Did you pick the voices or were there a voice coach or somebody?
Fable and I put out casting calls and reached out to some voice actors we know, and they nudged their other voice actor friends and said, hey, you should go audition for this. And so we had a lot of voice reels come in and we listened to every single one that was submitted. And people would audition for one or two characters sometimes. We just picked out the voices that we felt matched the characters best. And we had them do some line reads, and kind of narrowed it down and made those decisions. So it was the director and I, who selected all of the voice cast. And then when it came time to do recording, the director and I also did all of the voice direction. So,
wow.
Yeah, because like I said, because it was a small production, we don't have a full size, you know, Hollywood studio or anything. We had to wear multiple hats. And so that became our job to do. But that was a great learning experience. And we had a blast doing it. So
that must have been so cool, though. You got to learn all these different aspects of it.
Yeah.
And you got to have your – this is really your baby. And it's just your influence. Because it sparkles. I mean, you can just tell there's a lot of passion involved in this and a lot of interest. And I think the more I talk with you, the more I'm not surprised at how well it's doing. And I just hope it keeps growing.
That's very kind. Thank you.
I'd love to see this on well, I don't know. I don't know if you want to go on network TV or something like that, or on the Netflix or something like that. But I'd love to see this someplace, because I think there's certainly a market out there for such a wonderful story.
Well, that's really good to hear. And thank you for the vote of confidence.
Now, you're saying this is pretty much swallowing you whole. There's not any other projects you're working on right now?
No, I mean, this combined with, you know, Patreon obligations that I have, I also have Patreon supporters who have been very patient with me and, are there for the comics and mini comics and artwork that I do for them. In addition to that, and then, I've got the comic itself that I need to return to, but yeah, just organizing the backer kit and running that, and then doing some of the pre-production for the season at the same time is eating up pretty much every moment of the day for me. Looking forward to finding a weekend to take off at some point, but yeah, it is a commitment, but one that has been very gratifying for me. So it doesn't feel like work most days. So
I'm sure that's great. Oh man, that's wonderful and stuff. Now, if people want to follow you on social media, is there any way they can do that?
Yeah, I am on Twitter at LackadaisyCats, all just one word. they can find me at lackadaisy.com. Which is pretty easy to remember. And that is actually a hub all of my social media is there. And so you can find any links to anything, including the backer kit and the YouTube page where the pilot is. Can all be found just going to that spot. So that's probably the easiest thing. We're on YouTube at youtube.com/lackadaisycomic, all one word. So yeah, I mean, if you just Google Lackadaisy, it tends to come up pretty near the top. So
see, that's when you made a good choice for a name.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing, because so many times I've seen books, like somebody went called The Agency, and I thought, how are people ever going to find that? Because there's 20 million agencies out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You end up having to Google with the author's name in addition to the title or something and to find it.
You've done this all perfect, so people go right to your stuff, and it's very memorable and engaging and stuff. So I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about Lackadaisy in the future. I think, Tracy, you've done a beautiful job. It just sparkles.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Thank you. So, that really means a lot.
Much success, and I can't wait. Maybe we'll have to talk again when something else is coming down the pipe, down in the future, after you get these sections done.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You can turn to something else. It'd be great. But I just hope you have continued success, and maybe that $2 million mark isn't that far away. I hope that you'll be able to hit it and do all
Thank
kinds
so
of
much.
Wonderful things with that.
Really appreciate it. That's very kind.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And that's it for this week. Be back next time. We'll have another great interview with another terrific comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.